wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
I'm Eric.
Down in the new basement studios by the lake. We have absolutely nothing on the docket today.
Well, we do, but we didn't.
So this isn't one of our regular shows where we're taking stuff from the paper and articles and having a discussion. But because obviously, I'd appreciate that this is a podcast so that we record it, we put it out there, and you at home listen to it on your own schedule. But in reality, we are recording a couple of days after the July the 4th holiday.
Yeah.
And we're also getting towards the climax of the World Cup. And I guess I'll put, rather than burying the lead, we haven't talked about it yet, but about 3 weeks ago, I actually became an American citizen.
Yeah.
So I thought...
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yes, very, very glad to be here. Even, I mean, and again, I want to clarify right now, although it doesn't matter right now, I have been here legally for the prior, you know, three decades.
Yeah.
But even if I wasn't, it was too late, I'm in now. So you can't do anything to, you can't, you can do things to me, but you can't throw me out.
Well, I mean, you know, nothing's ever forever, you know.
Well, with the current president, yes. So we thought we'd have a discussion about national identity, and I will also share with you all the process of becoming a citizen and some of the stuff that happens. And then as the climax of the show, because part of the citizenship test is to, you are quizzed on things about America and American history, I'm actually going to subject my partner to the test to see if someone who's
actually... Do I deserve to stay?
Well, you were born here.
Yeah.
So at that moment, it'll be a good test of what have you learned along the way? What have you remembered?
Yeah.
No. So anyway, we're well into sort of the climax of the World Cup, which of course is a big moment of national identity.
Close to it. 1 week away from today, right?
Yeah, 1 week from today, from when we're recording, although by the time you listen to this, well, it could be all over. And obviously, this is the Atlantic Voice, and so the part of me that is predominantly English with a little bit of Scottish thrown in there, I'm very excited that as of this moment, England are still alive in the World Cup.
Apparently took for you to change your citizenship in order for England to become a more successful program.
But I haven't left England.
Yeah.
England is still part of me. So I am very... So I'm actually... It's this odd thing. I was trying to have this discussion. People, I've been out socially the last couple of days, and people have been congratulating me. Oh, we're all rooting for England. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've had anything to do with it.
Well,
do you know what I mean?
But that's the way it goes for any team, you know, when they're rooting.
Yeah, I guess.
You
know, yeah.
Congratulations on UVA winning something for me. And,
yeah,
you know,
I suppose.
It's not like I had anything to do
but
with it.
But I find random people who probably don't, you know, I can tell they're not really interested in talking about, you know, the soccer aspect of it.
Right.
They're just like, hey, congratulations, England. Do you know what I mean?
And well, because they're all worried it's all going to fall apart. So they're trying to tread lightly.
Well, to be fair, by the time you listen to this, it will A, have fallen apart, or B, narrowly averted falling apart, or C, more likely, we will lose in heroic fashion.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I've been telling people, and I was thinking about this on the way over, and I want to draw it into... you as a long-time United States citizen, if you're English, there's a lot of talk in England that football's coming home, and we are one of the only like eight countries that have actually won the World Cup. Now, in my lifetime, we've made the semifinals once, and so I'm like, oh, that's a big deal. I can name nearly all the people on that team that made the semifinals. And we've made
1990,
the 1990, yeah, and we have made the semifinals again, and so I'm like, yes, this is a sort of a... Legend is the wrong word, but sort of a historic... Whatever happens is an historical moment. But then I was sitting thinking about it, that, yeah, you know, Brazil, Germany, Italy, these people win it all the time. There's about 190 other countries that have never even made
never
the semifinals.
Sniffing,
yeah, and so I was thinking...
They'll never make it to the cup.
Well, that was the interesting
the
thing. So I'm thinking, obviously, because soccer's part of our heritage, I have an awareness of... what a major moment this is. And so I wanted to ask someone who grew up playing the sport in this country, how do you think people would react if, you know, at the next World Cup, the US made the semifinals? Do you think these people, whoever's on the team, would be sort of... Like I say, you can walk into a pub in England and name six of the members of the 1990 semifinal team, even though that was three decades ago. I'm curious if just era-wise,
no,
it'd be different about our sports heroes now anyway. I mean, again...
The trick is that when you had that happen in 1990, you already knew all the players from the professional league you were following, you know, like, so it was like a pervasive sport, just the same way I think people would be more likely to name Olympic teams from basketball because they already knew the players. Whereas if we get to the semifinal, I think people will be definitely mark that as a major event, and a certain number of people will know the players, but I don't think people will have, you know, a lot of those players, people will have just gotten introduced to those players at that time. Like, they won't have a big following from where they're playing on a regular basis.
Because soccer starts in a different place in this country.
Yeah. Well, that's, you're not spending your time following it all the time, and there's a lot more of the players that are scattered around the globe, whereas there's more of that, you know, generally. But in 1990, I imagine pretty much everybody who was on the English national team was playing in England in the Premier League
or whatever it was. And I think, to be fair too, you know, if you're a US soccer player, that's an interesting point you just made there. You might become a household name because of what happens in the World Cup, but that is a difference from already being a household name and then achieving something.
It's like, you know, when they had the dream team in basketball and Barkley and Jordan and all that stuff around, that was like a big deal. But of course, you knew who all those people were beforehand. It wasn't like they ascended.
But is it, I mean, it's interesting. I also feel a little bit, and I know we've had this discussion about the Olympics. If I feel a bit sorry sometimes if you're a U.S. Olympian, because the U.S. team, which I now my team, we dominated the Olympics, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, can you count both sets of wins? Are you going to have like a personal lead?
I'm going to beat everyone. So individually, which is what all this is about anyway, I'm going to become a dominant country.
Yeah.
But no, there are so many U.S. Olympians that win gold. I mean, even though just win gold medals,
it doesn't make it.
They also get lost in the wash a little bit. But I'm sure if you're, you know, you always hear about like someone in Hungary is a legend and he won a bronze medal.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, I guess it depends where you start. But I'm still excited for England. I listened to Roger Bennett on the radio yesterday on NPR explaining to the lady on NPR about what this all means. And he had this great line. The other semi-final is France against Belgium, and he called it the Flemish against the Walloons. I thought that was
For those who don't know Roger,
I wept like a kid when England won the other day, though.
Yeah.
That's a long time since that happened. Yeah. I was so relieved. England won a game where they won on penalties for the first time in like 30 years. And I was convinced when it was going to penalties that here we are, we're going to lose again. And I was standing behind the couch already just talking like, oh, I can't believe we're going to lose this way. And we ended up winning. And I swear, I just broke down.
Yeah.
I didn't leap up and down. It was like tears of relief,
really?
Joy. Sure. Yeah, but it was very odd. So anyway, I recently became a U.S. citizen. It has been a couple of years process. And again, I think if you don't, I don't know how it works in other countries. You know, if you decide you want to become a Hungarian citizen, so you can become the only silver medalist in something. I don't know how it works in these other countries, but in the U.S., you fill out loads of paperwork and you submit online now all your sort of personal history. Like, you have to go back through all your passports. You have to submit like 6 years of your income tax, all kinds of different things.
Is the basis of your entitlement having lived here for X amount of time? Like, because obviously, you know, people just can't randomly like show up at the door and be like, I'd like to apply for citizenship.
Well, to be fair,
I know some things do it off of like, you know, marital type things or things like that, but that wasn't yours, right?
No, I decided to do it. And again, I actually, you know, with full disclosure, I actually paid to have a lawyer handle it.
Yeah.
Because it's a slightly more complex than getting your driver's license. Like, you're doing stuff online and everything, but it's a lot easier to have a lawyer that submits all the paperwork and covers all the fees and all this sort of thing. I was doing it on the basis of being a green card holder who wanted to change their status.
Okay. But had you had to have had like the green card for a certain amount of time? I mean, obviously you would have been past it after being 3 decades, but was there something like, I mean, you couldn't have had it for a week, right? You know?
No, I do know. You technically, your green card, you renew it every 10 years.
Right.
So I think, I don't know for certain, I think you can apply at any which time, but I think to your point, how long you've been living here probably slots you
priority wise.
Do you know what I mean? Obviously, I've been here for, you know, I've renewed a couple of times. I'm not saying that.
Remind people of the significance of the green card.
The green card allows you to live and work in the United States. You pay taxes. The only difference is you cannot vote.
Is it officially a form of visa, or is it a? A visa is a travel thing, so it's a residence card. It is
a form of residency status, right. I think, is the technical term for it. In the same way that when people come here to study, they have student visas. That would be a visa, but they have student status or whatever.
Right.
But basically, it's a form of residency.
Okay.
And so I was obviously applying to sort of upgrade my status. And I would imagine, because I've been a green holder for so long, to be fair, I was under the impression originally that because I'd already been here, I wouldn't have to do too much paperwork, because I'm like, you already know who I am. But I was told that, oh, no, you have to submit completely as if you're new in the door. But I would imagine my existing status, to your point, probably slotted me up the queue a little bit.
Yeah.
The whole process from the moment I first decided to apply was basically beginning of last summer when I first said to Laura, okay, let's do it, and they sent me some emails and they sent me some, you know, the DHS website where you have to, you know, create a password, and this is going to be your porthole to upload all your documents.
It looks like
porthole is the same thing. A porthole is the small window on a ship,
yeah,
and that's a portal as well.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway. I only say that because at some moment immigrants came on ships.
Yes, they do.
Looking out the porthole.
Not you, though.
Not me, no.
An airship,
yeah. That's good. So if you don't know about that, go back and listen to our last show. Mm-hmm. So you begin a very laborious, is perhaps the wrong word. You begin quite a long process of uploading all kinds of information. Now, for example, you have to submit photocopies of all your pages of all your passports.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to sound trivial when I say this, but photocopying a passport is actually quite a lot of hassle. You know, it's lots of pages, and I did it wrong the first time, and I was told...
How can you do it wrong?
Well, I'd only submitted the pages with writing on them. And they were like, "Oh no! You have to photocopy it completely, including the cover and including blank pages and all this sort of stuff. You have to fill out online all the different places you go on. You've been abroad in like the last 10 years.
Sure.
You have to find. And here's the interesting thing: you have to upload your tax returns or a document you can get from the IRS that's sort of like a one page
history of your filings.
And the lawyer kept saying to me, don't worry if they're accurate or not.
That's not what they're being checked for. But
they're not checking you to see have you been a law-abiding citizen, which was what my original thought was. They're just checking to see that, are you the person you claim to be? So, because I'll come back to the significance of the tax forms and everything. Mm-hmm. I also had to get documentation from signing for Selective Service.
Oh.
And apparently there seemed to be some confusion over whether I had applied or not. Because when I got my green card, when you get your green card, you still have to put in for the draft.
You register.
And I'd originally thought I'd registered, but apparently they had no record of my registration. But they did have a record of me. This was the thing that confused me a little bit. They're like, oh, yeah, we have a record of you applying, but we don't have a record of you registering. So I had to get a special letter to show that, yes, we did receive something from this dude, but he never actually registered.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a bit concerned about that at the last moment.
Yeah.
And basically, it's a lot of, you know, if you're married, marriage certificates, you have to find birth certificates and all kinds of different stuff like that. So what happens is you spend a couple of months uploading all this information into the cloud, and then you just don't hear anything.
Yeah.
You really don't. You don't hear anything. And after about 4 months, I would occasionally email my lawyer, you know, because I'm paying them. So I'm like, what the hell? I'll email you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, any news? And they're like, nope, just wait. And then, you know, I'd wait another 3 months and I'd be like, hey, any news? And I think at some moment that they eventually said, yes, you know, your case has been given a number and they can now track your case through the system. And so other than that, you do absolutely nothing. And then you get a notification that you have to come in for your interview.
Mm-hmm.
And this is sort of the, I know there are some films where, I think there's a film from the 90s with Gerard Depardieu, a romantic comedy where he has to, where he's marrying an American to stay in the country.
Oh yeah, and, I know, a classic where you got like,
and then he ends up falling in love with all this kind of nonsense.
I think that was the movie with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds, right? It's a pretty good, funny movie. She's
she's
Canadian,
like that?
And
yet he's pretends. Canadian in real life.
I know,
and yet she was the immigrant,
right?
Yeah, all right. So anyway, then you get called in for a personal interview. So you know, suit, you know, jacket and tie, very respectable, and you have to bring everything that you've already submitted.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, me not being generally organized in the first place was then hit with a second wave of panic of where did I put all this stuff? Because
mm-hmm.
I thought, yeah, I've uploaded it and threw it all. You know, like, so I had to actually go and photocopy my passport for like the sixth time, which was mm-hmm. a hassle. And then you go in, you report to your local Department of Homeland Security office, and you wait around, and you end up in a small office. I have my lawyer with me, with a civil servant who then grills me for an hour to see if I am who I am. And they did ask, you know, they asked me to, you know, have you traveled anywhere in the last 5 years? They did ask me about my taxes, and they did ask, you know, do you remember, did you get a refund or did you have to give money? Which I thought was an interesting question. Like, so they're not, you know, they're not seeing, did you fudge your returns?
Yeah.
But it's true, at that moment you suddenly realize they don't care if you fudged your returns. They just want to care, do you know how you fudged your returns?
Right.
Which is a slightly different thing. And then at the end of the interview, which takes about an hour, and they do give you the famous immigration test, which I will be giving to
famous.
You. The famous, yeah, which I'll give to you at the end of the show. And I have the official book here. It says Quick Civics Lessons for the Naturalization Test. That's exactly what it's
called. So these are like really test questions. They might be harder, you know.
Oh, no, these are the questions. They give you 100 questions up front, and they tell you you're going to be asked somebody's questions.
Okay.
But I'm not going to talk about that now because I want to put you under test conditions at the end of the show.
Well, I don't want to do, I'm going to do 100.
You're not going to do 100. You don't have to do, I'm doing,
so you're going to pick the hard ones?
I've selected some that I think are challenging. I've also selected some that I know I myself was given. So right there we can compare head to head. Who is the better, who is the more citizen-y citizen.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the interview, the lady basically stands up and says, congratulations.
Oh, she has the delegated authority to decide.
Well, yeah, I mean, it does seem that way.
Although maybe
I
it's already decided when you get in there, and they're just making sure you don't screw something up.
Yeah, I think there is a little bit of that. And they did ask me about six different times, you know, was I a communist? And I wasn't sure how to take that. But I think, you know, I said to the lawyer later, I says, I'm sure she wasn't confused. She's like, no, they just want to, it's about, again, you're sitting there and they're trying to see, are you a liar?
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, if you ask me four different times, am I a communist? And after three times I say no, I don't know, the odds of me going, even if I am a communist, the odds of me going the fourth time, oh, yeah, I am.
Oh, whoops, yeah. No,
oh,
man,
sorry. Yeah, no, I meant no. I don't know. Considering how officious everything else was, the notion of slipping it in every six questions, you know, have you ever committed a felony?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I felt like, I don't know, it felt sort of cheesy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, no, come on now.
You're not, well, you know, those questions could have been written in like 1962 or something like that. And
But at the end, I mean, like, you know, when you sit down at the desk, you're sitting at a desk in an office and you all identify yourself and you have to, pledge, what do you call it when you put your hand up and you're not going to lie in court? What do you call that? When you take the, you know, you know, you put your hand up and go, yeah,
it's an oath or something.
Yeah. You know, you can see on the desk, there's like a massive big file, you know, with a case number on it. And clearly that's you in paper form. So you're right. They've already decided, this guy's really going to come in and be a comedian to not get in.
Right.
So when she stands up at the end and goes, congratulations, you're like, oh, there you go. But you're not a citizen until you get sworn in.
Right.
So I went and I got the interview and I sort of had this verbal, you're good to go. But then, you know, leaving, I said to the lawyer, well, what happens next? And she says, well, you'll get a notification in the mail for a swearing in ceremony. And it varies state by state, apparently. Because in the state of Maryland, right next door to us here in Virginia, they have a same day.
Uh-huh.
Where if you're free, you can come back at like 1 o'clock and get sworn in. But in Virginia, they like to send you away. I had to wait like 2 months, and then I had my date and I had my citizenship ceremony. We will get to that shortly, but on the desk in front of me, and I'll put a picture of some of this stuff. When you show up for your swearing-in ceremony, you're given an envelope with all kinds of things. A small American Stars and Stripes flag, which I have here. Also have my official copy of the words of the Star Spangled Banner.
It's like a cheat sheet. You bring that to baseball games or something, and you have in case anything.
The Pledge of Allegiance,
sure.
Which I need to be honest, I still don't know off by heart yet. And then on the other side is your Oath of Allegiance, which is actually different from the pledge. You only ever take this once. What happens at the ceremony is everyone getting done. The lady reads it out in classic, you know, I state my name type fashion. Right. You repeat it after her, and when you've read this, that's the moment.
You should read that one, because then people aren't going to know that. People are going to all know the Pledge of Allegiance and Star Spangled
Banner. Well, again, my question for you is, I'll start reading this right now, but so here, the Oath of Allegiance. I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince.
Abjure, there's a word.
Yeah.
A couple of words in here I don't think everybody's going to know.
But that's what makes it official. potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by the law, that I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by the law, that I will perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by the law, and that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. So help me God. And the minute you all say that, you're in. And so I'm asking you now, as someone who was born here, and you say, I'm an American citizen. Have you ever taken anything like this?
No.
So I find that kind of interesting. Like, it's not like something like but the first time you get your driver's license, you have to read this out.
That's what everybody's done. Yeah. It's really only the people who, like, so really what it is when you look at it, you know, they're talking about committing you to fight or non-combatant services or this work of national importance under civilian direction when required by the law. That sounds like forced work.
CIA. You know,
I'm thinking of like Depression era world, you know, but this is required. And so, I mean, I don't think I'm required to do that. So like the fact that you've pledged is handy. And since we're
so basically if we go to war with someone, not know
you don't take care of it. I didn't say this stuff. So
I'll have to go and fix railroads. Yeah, and I'll be like, sit around.
I'm like, I didn't sign anything like this. Right. I didn't give an oath.
So yeah, that's it. So you get given that card with all that stuff. You also get a copy of the Declaration of Independence. And they're very small,
pocket size,
because you want to carry it around. And then you get something else called the Citizen's Almanac, which you can see has...
It's not like Farmer's Almanac. Does it tell you like what the moon phases are going to be?
I'm going to be entirely honest with you. I haven't actually opened this until this moment.
Mm-hmm.
It says fundamental documents, symbols, and anthems of the United States. So
it's
this
probably
is
got more anthems than oaths that we've never heard of.
Yeah, I'm looking at the table of contents right here. Tells me what my rights of a citizen... Tells me what my responsibilities are. It says patriotic anthems and symbols of the United States. So you got Star Spangled Banner. We all know that one. America the Beautiful. Pledge of Allegiance. But then there's the New Colossus. Do you know what that is?
I do not know that.
Let's go to page 15 and see what the New Colossus is. New Colossus.
1883.
It is a poem that spoke to millions of immigrants when they came to America.
Mm.
Yeah. So there's also, let me see here, there's copies of George Washington's...
It's not the thing on the Statue of Liberty, is it? The New Colossus.
There is a picture of, as part of the auction held in 1883 to raise funds for a pedestal to be placed beneath the Statue of Liberty, which was a gift to America from France as part of the
France
centenary.
It's like half of the statue.
Yeah, Emma Lazarus wrote The New Colossus. Let me see. The poem is engraved on a bronze plaque that's on the Statue of Liberty.
So it's not a thing she's holding in her hand with the send me, you're tired, you're poor, you're wretched refuse.
Yes, it is. Oh, that's okay. The New Colossus.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. I didn't realize that was the title.
I thought that was a song by like Bob Dylan or someone like that. But there you go. The motto of the United States. Then they also have like important speeches, the Gettysburg Address, the Four Freedoms, I Have a Dream. Reagan gets in there, remarks at the Brandenburg Gate. There's also, you know, copies of the Federalist Papers, the Bill of Rights, and
then there's
some landmark decisions of the U.S. Supreme Court. They also have in here, I'm actually glad I'm looking at this now, prominent foreign-born Americans.
Oh.
So let me now go to page 85 and see who some of these characters are.
Albert Einstein.
And we can, yeah, our good friend Albert Einstein. John Paul Jones. Alexandra Hamilton, apparently.
Born in the Caribbean, wasn't he? Isn't that the whole premise of the...
Yeah, but how can he be president? If I can't be president, how come he got to be? Can't I use him in court as the precedent to become president? Because that's the one thing I cannot be. As a president, if you want to be president, you have to be native born. That's why there was always all that issue about where was Obama born.
Let me see that a second.
But there's Hamilton. He was a foreigner. That's president. We'll be suing the government.
Well, the catch is, I don't think he was ever president.
Oh, wasn't he? Oh, I didn't learn all the presidents as part of my test.
As you're going through that.
I'm waving my flag.
First Secretary of the Treasury serving under under George Washington.
All right. All right, so I cannot be president, but I can have a musical written about me.
That's funny. Like, I knew he was from the Caribbean, but, like, the place he's from is now St. Kitts and Nevis. So, you know, like a vacation area, right?
Yeah. So go through that and list a few more prominent foreign-born Americans. Albert Einstein, obviously, we give a shout-out to. Big fan of he's a big...
Alexander Graham Bell.
Who was originally from Scotland okay. Who invented the telephone.
Pulitzer. Joseph Pulitzer.
Oh, really?
From Hungary. Francis Cabrini.
He was... Hungary because he wasn't a bronze medalist.
Yeah, right.
And therefore had no celebrity back home.
They're getting a little thinner here. Einstein, of course, we mentioned... Irving Berlin.
Oh.
Russia.
Oh, really?
Or current day. Ooh, Felix Frankfurter. Supreme Court Justice. Also from Austria-Hungary. Newt Rockne.
Oh, I never knew.
Norway.
Where was he from? From Norway.
Yeah, how about that?
So technically, we've been pronouncing his name wrong. He should be Knut Rockne.
Probably right. Frank Capra. Speaking of our movies, you're always a big person.
They don't have anyone still alive, though, do they?
Bob Hope was born.
Yeah, but he's passed, isn't he? Bob Hope, and so was Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, they don't seem to have anybody alive.
Not anyone alive.
Before you move into that spot. All right, then. That's pretty interesting.
So it is interesting.
I wonder if you can get a copy for yourself somewhere. Maybe you just call up U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services.
Oh, is there a price on the back? There's a barcode. I'm sure they'll... I get it as part of the sign-up, but I'm sure you could get one as a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say, look, I'll take the Oath of Allegiance over the phone for a free copy right now.
Send a copy to the White House.
You can plug me in the system. So anyway, when you show up, the immigration ceremony... your naturalization ceremony, you're all sitting there, and I pledged at the same time as 178 other people.
Yeah.
And they do have this interesting thing at the start where, you know, they have a... I keep wanting to call her an MC because I don't know what else to call someone who's sort of running it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a roll call of nations, and they read all the nations represented here, and you're supposed to stand up, and people can cheer for the country. And I give it the due. There are a whole lot of different countries represented.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take your oath of allegiance, and then
Well, it's like they're kind of like all those countries, and then at the end they're like, screw all those countries.
Yeah, basically, yeah. You have to say, hey, say goodbye to those countries.
Yeah.
They have big video screens, and there's actually a couple of videos. There was one that I thought was quite interesting, but it was like a 3-minute, without any commentary, it was like a black and white collage of still and moving pictures of Ellis Island from clearly back in the 18th century, 19th century.
And you could tell because it was in black and white.
Yes. And plus some of the outfits that people came from other countries were wearing. I'm like, ooh, people don't wear those outfits now.
No.
Unless they're doing it ironically at a World Cup game where they've worn
Right.
Yeah. So that was, I must say, when I'm watching that, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, wow. Yeah, this is kind of, there is do you have a sense of history? You sing the national anthem. You also take the Pledge of Allegiance. There's a keynote speaker who talked. He was an immigrant himself, and he talked about famous immigrants. He was actually the director of the U.S. Patent Office, so he talked.
You guys had it at the...
At the U.S. Patent Office,
their
headquarters in Northern Virginia, and he's a presidential appointee, so he has been what do they call it, when you, he's been confirmed by the Senate to his position, but he was originally from Romania, so he talked about, you know, coming to America in the 80s, and then he told some really interesting, you know, nice stories about how, hey, immigrants come and they invent stuff, and, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, oh no, inventing's not.
That's not my department,
but still, I'm glad that, you know, the immigrants invent stuff.
That's their world. They're tying it to the patent piece of it. So
then you have there is a videotape message from the president, the current president, and regardless of your politics, that was the only moment he's doing it in his very sort of stern face, like serious face. And the only thing, when he's talking, I kept thinking, ooh, do I have to come back and do this again some moment? Slightly like, yeah, welcome to America, like very sort of like his TV show. And then this was the one moment that I also had another thought, so I don't have the words here, but then they play a video of Proud to Be an American.
The country song?
Proud to be an American. Yeah. So they've created a video for it, and it's all images of America. And I'd forgotten to tell my partner Advance here, so he's going to, if you don't know the song, he's going to see if he can punch a version of that song up right now. So they play it on the big screens, and it is a sort of a video montage of America, like flyovers of Mount Rushmore and Yellowstone Park and the Empire State Building. And along the way, there's different images of citizens like yourself, myself, standing in fields, singing along. The words come up, and all the civil servants at the ceremony are waving flags, and they're encouraging you to sing along. And so you sing along, and you start waving your flag. And to be entirely honest with you, I know the words to the national anthem.
I don't know if this is the original version. It's actually called God Bless the USA. If anybody can hear this, since we
didn't like
connect it all.
What version is this?
I don't know. If tomorrow all the things were
gone, I'd work for all my life. So I'm trying to think, who actually sung the original? Because I remember this song was commissioned. This song was commissioned during the Gulf War. Yeah, if you look up that song, I'm not going to challenge anyone out there to tell me that I'm wrong. I was under the assumption that that song was written during the Gulf War, the first Gulf War back in 1991, and it was like the official anthem of the Gulf War. Like, I'm proud to be an American. I'm not being facetious when I say this. I always thought that's where the song, it was commissioned and it was written then, and, you know, I'm proud to be an American. That one. And I always thought it was sort of, it was the official song of the Gulf War. Have you ever seen the movie Wag the Dog?
Yeah.
Well, don't they, when they're sort of having that pseudo war, they have someone,
it's Lee Greenwood.
Yeah, they have someone write a song to go with their war against whoever it is they're bombing in that movie. Well, anyway, is this the Lee Greenwood version?
Yeah.
Well, the version at your citizenship ceremony is not the original.
Right. It's probably the one we were just playing there. It seemed like.
Yeah. And I'm sitting there and I'm singing along. Yeah. Here we go. I'm proud to be an American. There you go.
At least I always thought it was a weird lyric. At least I know I'm free.
Yeah, like, hey, whatever, like, else,
at least,
I'm free.
At least we have that.
Yeah. So anyway, at your citizenship ceremony, they play this, because this is the end of it, and you're all singing along, and they're getting everyone to sing along. And I'm sitting there watching the video and listening, and I'm like, this isn't the original. And that was the only thought in my mind, was this is a cover version. Yeah. And there was a part of me, and now as a citizen, I'm going to say this.
Maybe they had to.
Couldn't we get the rights to have the real version?
I don't know.
It's a bit like having a Beatles
budget
thing.
Cuts.
Yeah, it's like having the Beatles thing. It's like, oh, by the way, this is not the Beatles version of Yellow Submarine. This is the four ball-headed boys version of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. So I was a bit disappointed there. So anyway, you sing along to that, and then it's time to leave, and you're shaking hands. hands with the people in your row, because when you come in, you're just seated wherever there's, you know, mm-hmm. you come in and you sit next to the person who's in the line in front of you. You then leave the room, and on the way out of the room, all the civil servants are lined up and they're congratulations and shaking your hand. And that's all kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go outside and you pick up your official envelope, which has in it your certificate of naturalization.
And your assignment to work for the country.
Yes. please report to the factory where we are now making just domestic cars, because we're not having any German cars anymore. Yeah. And you get your official documents and you use those as the basis. You're given your passport application. You're also told to go down to Social Security at some moment and change your status.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, you are now a fully fledged citizen.
Yep. Well, from my perspective, I had made a plan. We had talked about you do this. It was a middle of the day on a Friday, right? Something like that. And
as I found out, I was like 12:30 on the Friday. There was apparently a 10 o'clock sitting.
Oh.
So they're getting your new citizens in and out. Apparently there was a 10 o'clock show, as I kept referring to it, where they'd done a whole group before me.
And I wonder if the same guy gave the same keynote speech, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, if he's busy running the patent office, he's like, I can't be coming down every day to do this. Just clear it for Friday. I'll do two, and then I'm back to work Monday approving immigrant inventions or whatever they do down there.
He's only allowed to do those. We'd made some plans. You know, at first we had talked about going to it, a couple of us, you know, friends of ours. And then you found out, not last second, but kind of late in the game, like, oh, I'm only allowed to have two guests.
To be honest with you, I didn't find out late in the game. I did find out later in the game.
The
information was available. And when I said to my lawyer, hey, I want to check how many guests can I have, they were like, it's on the form you were sent. And of course, I'd not read the form. Yep. I just looked at the form for what time I had to be there. But because of the place, I was only limited to two guests, which was unfortunate.
Then you seemed to indicate, you know, we were texting all year because you had a lot of waiting time, it sounded like. Then you said, oh, well, looks like people are violating that rule. It's not like, did they literally check people in and be like, who's your two?
Yeah. Which I must say my newfound status as a citizen was already sort of, you know, colored by discipline.
Yeah. So then we said, oh, well, you know, we'll catch you afterwards and go get a beer or something like that. You know, I was going to bring you like a big 40 of Budweiser or something like that. And it just kept stretching on and on and on. And so we never actually got to do something because I had something else I had to do that evening. And I thought it was also suitable in that it was not your first brush, obviously, but your first brush as a citizen with the full on bureaucracy of, you know, in Maryland, apparently you could have sworn in like that. But here they had you spend 2.5 hours waiting around.
The whole ceremony is a lot of sitting around.
Yeah.
And one thing, while you're sitting around in the auditorium, you know, there's stuff going on the screens and they pipe in, you know, music.
Mm-hmm.
It was all Motown music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's just personal choice to the people.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is. It is. It's funny. You're sitting there and you're listening to like, yes, this is American music. Mm-hmm. This is not, you know, there's no Beatles or anything like that. This is all Motown.
Small tangent. I went to see the Foo Fighters on Friday night at Meriwether Post, and they are introducing the band members, and they have the keyboard guys, not original Foo Fighters, but they've kind of filled out the band. He was joking that they had like more members than Slipknot or something now, but he starts playing Imagine, you know, as he's getting introduced, you know. Dave Grohl starts to sing the lyrics to Van Halen Jump over Imagine, and worked like slower, but like it fit right into the whole thing, and he did the entire song of Jump over the Imagine
just go ahead and jump. So it's one of those versions. It wasn't like jump. That's quite interesting.
Yeah.
So it is the melody from Imagine with the lyrics of Jump.
Yeah.
And is there stuff going on while he's singing that? Like, is he doing it in the back?
Like a lot of laughter. I mean, each time you would do Jump, you'd like put it, so like the whole crowd would like, he'd be go ahead and jump, and then the whole crowd would go jump.
Yeah.
And, like, it was quite entertaining.
Oh. Was it a good show?
Oh yeah, it's excellent. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you've seen them a couple of times. I mean
it was solid. I think that 2.5 hours, no breaks, guy screams like the entire time, and I was like, I don't know how to
get. Who played with him? Who's the support?
The Struts local group. They came. The main singer came out and they did Under Pressure. You know, the
Queen,
Freddie Mercury, David Bowie song. Yeah,
yeah.
So that was quite good, also.
Yeah. Oh, all right. So there you go. So So yeah, so you saw the Foo Fighters.
Yeah. Well, that was my tangent. Just, that was just you mentioned the Beatles thing. So
yeah. So anyway, at that moment, you're then a citizen of the United States. I did immediately the next day apply for my passport, which has already come back to me.
Yeah. And you proceed to email me 12 times about getting a TSA pre-status.
Yeah, I need to get on that now because having my other brush with bureaucracy was going down to Social Security and changing my status. That's some serious waiting, man. Yeah. That's a full-on DMV experience, waiting around and everything. But yeah, so
pre-checked on thing, right? I mean, you have to wait a little while for it to process. It's another, you know, upload your stuff.
What's a little while? You come.
Oh, I think it was like a month and change before you had an interview.
No, because I'm traveling in 3 weeks. Too late, I guess. I'm lining up. Fair enough. So anyway, there you go. I've become a U.S. citizen. Mm-hmm. Very, very proud. Very happy about that.
Yeah, proud to be an American.
Proud to be an American.
At least you know you're free.
Yeah. And so, are you ready now?
Sure.
Take the test.
Yeah. Is it written or like oral?
I'm going to do oral. Now,
that should be better because otherwise it's not very interesting a podcast.
Yeah. You taking a written exam is really not very interesting.
Yeah.
Don't play that yet, though, because I want to set some of the ground rules. So when you are in your citizenship, your naturalization interview, so this is not the ceremony. This is about 6 weeks beforehand. The first thing you do is you take the civics test, citizenship and civics and history test. I was told beforehand by my lawyer, I'm like, okay, so let me rewind before that. At some moment during the process, I got a notification to go down to a local DHS office and have my picture taken and fingerprints and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's modern identification. And again, I was already in the system, but you have to do it on over. When you go down there to do all that, on your way out, they give you the book and goes, these are the questions you need to study them.
Mm-hmm.
So leading up to the interview, because I had my lawyer test interview me. I'd called up and I said, the interview's next week. Obviously, you're going to come with me. She's like, yes. And then she's like, we will also give you a test interview if you feel you need it. I'll be honest with you, I didn't think I needed it, but I'm paying for the lawyer. You can come on down and give me the test interview. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting my money's worth.
Sure.
So when we came to the test, I said, so how does the test work? And she goes, well, it's going to be, it's verbal, but they ask you questions, but they don't tell you if you've got the answer right. So they ask you questions, and I'm like, well, so how do you know if you pass or not? And they say they'll just keep asking you questions, and then they'll stop. And at that moment, you've probably got 7 or 8 right.
Great.
If I had listed English as a second language, there also would have been a written test where they, someone would give me a bit of paper with a sentence, and I'd have to copy it and write it down. But because I had not listed English as my second language, I didn't have to do the written test.
All right.
So I have the book here, and there are a hundred questions, of which you're going to be asked probably, I think I was asked about 10, if I remember correctly. The only one I definitely know I got wrong was the very first one. And I know I got it wrong because I was completely stumped. And I'm like, ooh, they've started me with a hard one. I got it wrong. And it was only later I said to the lawyer in conversation, ooh, how did I do my test? And she's like, oh, yeah, you got the first one wrong. So we're now going to see if you are a legitimate U.S. citizen. I'm going to give you the very first question I got. How many amendments does the Constitution have?
Yeah, I think we talked about this before and I didn't know the answer.
Yeah, that's not an answer. You can't sit there and go, I don't know, because then you have to throw an I decided. My tactic was, I'm giving you an answer, even if it's like none of the above.
33?
Well, actually, you are wrong. It's only 27.
All right.
Well, I was out by one and it was true. So I knew I hadn't got it right. And so for a few minutes, I had like a brain lock, and I'd suddenly now felt under intense pressure, like, oh, I need to start getting these right or I'm not going to be legit. All right, so you're 0 for 1.
Yeah.
Here's one. What is the economic system in the United States? Oh, play the music here while we do this. Yeah, let's do that.
It's capitalism.
Correct. Boom. 1 for 1. So here's one, and this is what I find interesting. A lot of the questions have multiple answers. And obviously, when you see it in the book, you feel like you need to word it a certain way, but you don't. You just have to sort of vaguely approximate one of the sentences.
Right.
What is the rule of law?
What is the rule of law?
You don't get to throw it back. What is the rule of law? That's the question I now have in front of me. The official, learn about the United States quick civics.
Well, because you were able to read the book ahead of time, so you know what the phrasing would be, right?
The rule of law. They read the question as it's in the book. Again, what is the rule of law?
Sure, but you had read it beforehand, so you had an idea of what the heck this was. In any event, I assume it is the principle that we are governed by, our nation of laws, and we are governed by the rules that we all pass for ourselves.
I mean, I guess you're going to get that right. Everyone must follow the law. Leaders must obey the law.
Right.
Government must obey the law. No one is above the law.
Yeah.
So there you go. So you get a question like that. Then there's more questions about, how many, what are the branches of government? Who's in charge of the executive branch? Why do some states have more representatives than other states?
Because they have a higher population.
Correct. That's one of the right answers.
What the other right answers?
Well, it says here, because of the state's population, because they have more people, because some states have more people. Any of those answers are acceptable. I was told in advance by my lawyer, just know who your local politicians are.
Yeah.
So I had gone and beefed up on my local congressman. I knew my senators, my governor. But I got given this one, and I'm like, seriously, this is a gimme. What is the name of the vice president of the United States now?
Pence.
Yeah, correct. So there you go. So that was an easy one. So far, you've got them all right, except for the first one. Keep going through. There's a lot of geography questions. There's questions about...
Into the hub for sports.
Yeah. All right. This is one question that I got right. When she asked it to me, because of where I was coming from, I kind of smiled and she was half smiling.
Meaning the official person or your lawyer?
The official person.
Okay.
What is one reason colonists came to America?
For religious freedom.
There you go. Freedom, political liberty. And I thought that was funny because obviously, ultimately, everyone in America is from Britain originally.
Well.
But, I mean, that's the first
really
one.
True,
yeah.
But.
So, like I said, I got asked that one rather than, why did the colonists fight the British?
Sorry, it rolled over into soccer highlights.
Okay.
Because we ran out of
what happened at the Constitutional Convention?
What happened at the Constitutional Convention? They drafted.
I know your tactic is to read the question back. You can't do that in the official interview.
They drafted the U.S. Constitution.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Says was written, or the founding fathers wrote the Constitution.
Yeah,
I always feel if something's drafted, it's like an incomplete version.
Oh, well,
so I don't
enough.
Count that. So there's more questions about wars. Let me see here.
Is there anything that's recent? These are all deep founding fathers type questions.
No, they are. No, I'm looking.
Well, Pence obviously
stuff
is
like,
not.
There's a, during the Cold War, what was the main concern of the United States?
The risk of nuclear war?
The correct answer is communism.
Oh.
And then they have a little explanation
fair
in the
point.
Book.
Yeah.
The most up-to-date one. What major event happened on September the 11th, 2001 in the United States?
Mm.
And I'm glad I wasn't asked that because I'm not sure. And again, the official answer is terrorists attack the United States.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, if you sort of give, I think it's one of those things. I'm sure if you generally give some terrorists got on planes or planes threw into the, if you sort of give a vague understanding that you have some sort of legitimate memory of that day, you'll get it correct, I would assume. Let me see. There's also some name one of the two longest rivers in the United States.
Mississippi.
That's one of them. And I was going to make it hard for you as a Native American, a Native citizen, and not give you that one. What's the other one? And I didn't know this. It's the Missouri.
Well, I was going to say the Missouri, but it ultimately feeds in, but it's long enough, I guess, on its own.
Name one state that borders Canada.
North Dakota.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And look, you went deep. You went sort of eclectic there.
Yeah.
You didn't just do an easy one.
Vermont,
like
Maine,
or New York. Let me see. Where is the Statue of Liberty?
In New York? Is there the Ellis Island?
Well, here you go. It says New York in brackets Harbor, Liberty Island, and then it says also...
Right, so it's not Ellis Island, actually, right?
Yeah, also acceptable are New Jersey, near New York City, and on the Hudson River.
Is it part of New Jersey?
Well, I guess in the water, isn't it? Let me see. Why does the flag have 50 stars?
It's the number of states.
Yeah, correct. And then there was also...
That's why nobody wants to add, like, Puerto Rico. It just messes up the flag.
There was a question about... I need to find it. Name one U.S. territory.
Guam.
Okay, there you go. Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, American Samoa, and the Northern Mariana Islands. Mm-hmm. I have no idea where they are.
Yeah.
You don't have to look this. You don't have to look it up on a map.
They're in the Pacific, I think.
Are they? Yeah. So there you go. That's your citizenship. You would have passed.
Good.
Like me, you failed your first one.
Yeah.
That's
notably harder than the other ones. Although I suppose if you've read the little things they give you ahead of time, then you just need to know what the last.
I'm not going to lie. When I was given the book, I had a quick glance through it thinking, yeah, it is all sort of general knowledge stuff. Mm-hmm. And then nearer the time, I started reading back in, and I'm thinking, ooh, some of these are quite different, quite difficult. When was the Constitution written?
1887?
No, that's a slip of the tongue. You meant to say 1787.
Oh, yes, I did mean, yes.
I would have given you that. You have to name three of the original states. How many justices are there on the Supreme Court? Under our Constitution, some powers belong to the states. What is one power of the states? Give a driver's license is actually a correct answer. Yeah, so there you go.
This book, it's got all the things. It doesn't have the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Did you say that's in the little
thing? No, that's in the little pocket book, so I can carry that about. Yeah.
Separate. I want to see what the 33rd Amendment was, just so we could...
the 27th Amendment. Some guy's trying to get into it with me in an Uber. I can whip that out and to show my legitimacy.
So the 27th Amendment is no law bearing compensation for the services of senators or representatives shall take effect until an election shall have intervened. In other words, you can't vote to raise your own pay. You can only vote to raise the pay people get elected after you.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's quite good. I mean,
Then the prior amendment was actually a bigger deal. That's when they dropped the voting age to 18.
So, yeah, I mean, and those some of those questions are in here. What day is tax day? Let me see what else here. The Federalist, I was glad I wasn't asked this, because it's one of those where you can sort of guess, but if you have no idea, you've got no chance. The Federalist Papers supported the passage of the U.S. Constitution. Name one of the writers.
Well, it's Hamilton and Jefferson, isn't it?
Well, Jefferson's wrong, but Hamilton's correct. So it's Madison, Hamilton... John Jay.
Oh, that's right. You know, this is their side of it. Yeah. This is not the... There's an exchange of things between Hamilton and Jefferson that's sort of similar in the debate over things, I think.
John Jay, who I always thought was like a rapper. So this is John Jay, who's a reference, like a DJ or something. I think the Public Enemy or the Beastie Boys reference. Yeah, John Jay. Yeah. Or maybe Run DMC. And then Publius, which was apparently... That's James Madison's pen name. So if you say James Madison...
So he's had the rap name. I mean, like, John Jay is actually John Jay, but, you know, like...
Well, who's John Jay then? No, John Jay, that's a dude, Jay. Like, right. Hey, Mr. Jay,
that's your what table I mean. Is ready. But I'm saying, like, that's a real person, whereas Publius is like a rap name, because it's
James Madison's rap name. Yeah. So, I mean, again, what territory did the United States buy from France in 1803?
The Louisiana Territory.
Name one war fought by the United States in the 1800s.
Civil War?
Yeah, that one counts, yeah. I
mean, it was kind of a big one.
Yeah, so there's your test.
All right.
So, yeah, you made it.
No, good, so, good, I appreciate it. Congratulations. I vindicated myself.
And you've read the Oath of Allegiance, so I will let anyone know that you do.
Well, I read, but I didn't read out loud.
No, it doesn't matter, but yeah. I was here as a witness, and I saw your mouth in the words. And so that's what you're given. So I've actually kept all this stuff.
Sure,
you know. I don't mean that in a trite way.
Well, you should keep it.
Well, it's funny, I've kept...
I mean, you kept such a good organization of the stuff you put in the first time, I can only imagine what corner of a desk that's been sitting on.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I've kept all my copies of my taxes, because I'm one of those people...
You're supposed to dump them after 7 years.
Oh, I'm keeping all of this in case there's an issue down
the line. Oh, these? No, but the taxes.
Oh, this, I'm keeping this. But all the other stuff I've kept, just because... And I don't know. And until I applied for citizenship, I'd never really sat. And I don't want to finish the show getting all sort of heavy and deep. But like being where you're from, especially if you're from like countries like ourselves on the Atlantic Voice, I don't think in general you put much stock into it. You just are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird now that I have applied and been granted citizenship. even though I'm in, I've got my passport and everything, I'm keeping all the paperwork in case there's a problem.
Sure.
I feel a bit like I've, you know, bought like a fridge from Home Depot, and if it goes wrong, yeah, I want to have all my paperwork. Sure, yeah. Even though I'm now in and can do
it's
anything.
Essentially the manual, right?
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I can do everything but become president.
Do we have to change our logo?
No.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, we're keeping that. Yeah, because we are still...
Wouldn't look as good with just two American flags.
Yes. it would look a bit odd.
Yeah.
I think that's it for the show. We've been able to kill an hour.
Yeah.
We've killed an hour.
We killed it.
And if you stayed with us this far, you may not have been entertained, but you know something? You learned something.
There you go.
Let me see. That's it. That's it for the show, right?
It is.
Yeah. Anything else. This has been the Atlantic Voice. This has been the Atlantic Voice podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for the Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.